إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we were talking about the issue of moving from being person-led to process-driven as far as leadership is concerned, with examples from the Seerah and the Kitab of Sunnah. And in that I mentioned three things that are required for global movements: a central ideology, a central command or authority structure, and a central funding. So we look at the first part of it, which is central ideology. The central ideology of Islam is the ideology of Tawheed wa Risalat wa Akhirat. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah is the central ideology of Islam. The key requirement of the central ideology is that it must be distinct enough to differentiate from everything else, yet it must be broad enough to accommodate people of diverse kind of people who are coming from different backgrounds, people who may have different understandings of things. Yet this ideology must be broad enough to accommodate them. So, and on the one hand, it should not be so broad and wide that it does not have any differentiator or any distinguishing feature. And on the other hand, it should not become so narrow that it excludes people. The ideology of Tawheed of Islam satisfies both these criteria. It is distinct from everything else because it stands for the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and for the messengership and the finality of that messengership of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet it is broad enough to accommodate everybody else. And that's the reason why when people asked Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is a Muslim, he said, the one who said La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, the one who worships in the direction of our Kaaba, and who eats what we slaughter. Rasulullah ﷺ gave these parameters, which are so wide and broad that they are extremely inclusive and they accommodate anyone. Finer points of aqidah, finer points of belief, and so on and so forth, are left between the individual and his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. It's not to say that they are not important. They are important, but they are not so important that they exclude you from Islam itself. They don't. Islam is open, it is easy to enter Islam, and Islam accommodates people from all kinds of diversities. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the same thing in the Quran in two places, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'budun. And in another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ. The first refers to the belief itself, which is فَعْبُدُون, which is the عُبُودِيَةَ of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and worshipping only and only Allah. And the second one refers to the acting on that belief, the action on the aqidah, which we call taqwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first place said fa'budun, in the other place he said fattaqun, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave himself and connection with him as the single point of reference as far as belonging to the ummah is concerned. Anyone who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs to this ummatan wahida, which is the ummah of Muhammad Rasulullah. Anyone who acts according to that belief, which means anyone who is concerned about the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anyone who is concerned about pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his life, in every aspect of life, is a person who is a Muslim and who belongs to the same ummatan wahida of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So therefore, again, uniqueness of belief and the width and expanse of that belief, the wusat of this belief. The second point of requirement, or the third point of requirement of a central ideology, is that it should be something which draws people together. And this is where Rasulullah ﷺ formed the Ummah itself. The whole story of the Muhajirun and the Ansar the refugees from Makkah and how they were received in Medina. This is the story of the forming of the Ummah of Rasulullah ﷺ. And that is also the point in the ayat which I recited, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the Ummah. He did not even say Muslimin, he said Ummah. Meaning that brotherhood of faith, being together, is a very important part of faith. It is not something which is incidental, it is not something which is tertiary, it is something which is critical and which is an integral part of the faith. It is a pillar of Islam, it is a pillar of the deen itself, and that's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the Ummah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala associated himself with that. And Allah said, you are one Ummah because you worship me, you are one Ummah because you obey me. And that's the issue of the Ummatan Wahida. So these three things together form the core ideology of Islam, and that core ideology is required in order to maintain and take forward the deen even after the charismatic personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is no longer with the Ummah. So a people can gather together behind one Imam, behind one Mahdi, behind one Nabi, behind a great leader, but if there is nothing else holding them together, then the minute that leader is gone, they will fall apart. And we see the examples of this all over the world. We see examples of this in our even modern day political leadership also. People gather together behind one charismatic leader, like in South Africa, for example. Everybody gathered together behind Nelson Mandela. But the moment Mandela went out of political life, it's not even a question of when he died, before he died, when he came out of political life, everything is falling apart. You know, there's nothing to hold them because systems are not there. There are no processes to hold, there are no systems to hold. So once the charismatic leader dies, that's the end of the entire movement, which is very sad because if you see, you know, and it's also happened in India, when people gathered together, charismatic leader plus an overwhelming cause, as it happened in our independence period. We had Gandhiji and we had the independence itself, which was an overwhelming cause, but again, no systems, nothing to hold together. So the moment we got independence, the moment Gandhiji went out of political life, everything fell apart. That is the whole issue of a core ideology being something to rally to and rally towards, as well as something which is the adhesive to hold people together as one. And this is what Islam shows, this is what Islam preaches, and alhamdulillah, we also have had, we read our history, we are not free from hiccups, but at the same time, alhamdulillah, we have held together, alhamdulillah, as one Ummah for 1400 years. I know when I'm saying one Ummah, I'm stretching it a bit because we seem to have so many divisions. But still, divisions apart, at the end of the day, a Muslim is a Muslim, inshallah. And there is a level of acceptance and a level of affection for a Muslim because he is a Muslim. And if this is not there, then we are in very, very serious trouble. So we need to think about this and say that we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we believe in the Quran as the kitab. So we have one Rabb, we have one Nabi, we have one kitab, we have one Kaaba towards which we turn when we worship. Then what is the reason for divisions? We should not have divisions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this very clearly in the Quran again, وَعَتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ jamian wala tafarraqu. And therefore we need to keep our hearts together. Yes, we can have differences of opinion. This is a matter of understanding and working and so on. That does not mean that we are apart. And that's very important to remember. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ الرَّحِيمِ